The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Harry Hayden from an Applegreen garage somewhere anyway. Harry, how are you keeping?
Not too bad, Dan. Not too bad. How are you?
That's the stuff. Cork City taking on Longford Town away from home at 7:30 tonight. Usually we have a Saturday game first and foremost, but, well, I guess more importantly than the Saturday game, I don't know what I'm even on about. Look, it's a long day. Do you think Cork City are going to get the job done tonight?
They really should. I mean, away to Longford, it's Longford, they come down to the cross there a few weeks ago and took Cork City a while to find the lead in that game, and Longford came back and equalised, and they needed basically a kind of scruffy equaliser or a scruffy goal from Charlie Lyons to see them over the line that day. But they should absolutely have enough for Longford, and with the recent form they've been in, Cork City, we spoke about last time we were chatting about Cork City a few weeks ago how important it was kind of to make a bit of a gap between them and second place. And they made a pretty decent gap between them and second place, but those two defeats to Kerry and Cove, which were, as shambolic as it gets, really, have opened the door for UCD, and they've sort of narrowed that gap now down to 3 points now. I know Cork City have two games now, but it's so important Cork City just win today. It puts a 6-point gap between them and UCD, and everyone kind of can relax a small bit, because we don't want to kind of get to, like Dundalk were last year. Dundalk, they were really struggling to shake off Cove Ramblers for a lot of last year. I think it's so important Cork City just get to the sort of halfway point of the season, which we're coming up to, and they've got that sort of nice gap between them and UCD where they don't have to worry about promotion, and it's sort of somewhat secure, and they can just look forward towards next season.
Is Barry Robson coming under a bit of pressure, Harry, do you think, just going off the Cork City Forum stuff I'm seeing online?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think, it's debatable whether you want to say it's warranted or not. They had such a perfect start to the league campaign. But I guess sort of any sort of defeat to Cove, and especially Kerry, which was obviously both were historic wins for Cove and Kerry. Cove's first win at the Cross and Kerry's first ever win over Cork City in any sort of senior football event. And it was a pretty brutal week for Cork versus Kerry, as obviously the actual footballers then beat us on the Sunday as well. you can say whether he came under that pressure fairly or not. He absolutely, when you do lose those two sort of games to two Munster rivals, you will come under pressure, especially when you consider, we're not in the league we want to be. Cork City is probably one of the, whether we like it or not, probably one of the most sort of scrutinising clubs in the country because of the stature, because of the size of it. So if you do drop points, if you do fail to pick up wins, you are going to come under pressure. But I think, it was an important win against UCD, because if they hadn't won that, I really wouldn't like to think what the sort of situation would be like now going into this Longford game. That would be, three games without a win. So that win against UCD last Friday was absolutely crucial for not just the team, but Barry Robson himself as well.
The forward situation, Harry, we all know about Shawnee, but what was kind of proved over the last few weeks, if Shawnee doesn't score, well, I know Hans got a hat-trick last week, but if Shawnee's not scoring, we're struggling to put the ball in the net, and that should surely be a big worry.
Yeah, absolutely. Shawnee McGuire is like a cheat code in the first division. I think it's pretty, he could be playing for pretty much any Premier Division team. There's no secret that obviously Rovers wanted him in the summer, and I think if he was in that Rovers team, he'd be starting every single week. But you're absolutely right. There is a concern, because I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd love to know kind of the percentage of goals that we scored and the percentage that Shawnee's been responsible for, because it must be over 50%, I'd assume. He is such an essential cog in this team, and you would really fear for one, if he doesn't, if his form does dry up or whatever, and also you would also fear if he was to pick up an injury, which Sean McGuire's, it's no secret that he is a slightly injury prone player. He obviously got quite a big injury last year, which is a huge reason to why Cork City struggled, I think, in the Premier Division. So that is a huge concern, because I think we just sort of assumed Rory Keating would be able to score goals in this level, and he's just had such a tough start to the season. And look, I know he's had a sort of tough time personally as well lately. And look, if there's anyone who can bounce back from this, it's Rory Keating, absolutely. But I think we've certainly been very reliant on Shawnee. But I think Barry Robson made a bit of an interesting switch in the last game, in that Hans was played slightly further forward. And, you know, I think the huge debate was kind of whether we'd play all three forwards and Rory Keating, Hands and Sean Maguire. But I think really, in reality, you can't really play all three. I think we have to sort of, you have to stick with two. And I think that's what he did against UCD. And we saw the effects of Hands, because he certainly is, I think, a bit of a poacher. He definitely knows where the back of the net is. And, you know, it was the first, made history, obviously, the first Dutch player to ever score a hat-trick in the League of Ireland.
One for the trophy cabinet anyway.
Yeah, well, you have to take what you get in the first division, really. So,
well, to be fair, a Munster Senior Cup anyway during the week, we'll take that one as well. Rory Keating and the Keating situation, what have you made of that, and how do we get this very talented striker back on track?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because, you know, it's always difficult when you've got a player who is as loved as Rory Keating with the Cork City fan base. But I think we just have to be a bit patient with him. I don't think, like, I've seen some fans saying we should be looking to get him out in the summer, or, you know, he's taking up too much of the wage bill, and we, you know, we should just have Hands and Shawnee as our strikers. But, like, just be patient with Keating. Like, we know his ability. Everyone knows his ability. He's one of the best strikers in Ireland on his day. Like, he, you know, he scored, what was it, 13 goals, I think, in the 2023 season, or, you know, was one of the top goal scorers in the League of Ireland in what was probably one of the worst Cork City teams of all time, which just tells you all the ability that he has. But, you know, he's come back. People forget as well, he's come back from an ACL injury. You know, it's such a tough injury to come back from. And, you know, just be patient with him, and I'm sure once he gets one in the back of the net, they won't stop going in.
What have you made of the season as a whole, really?
Like, it was all good basically until that draw against Bray. I would say, like, I think, you know, I think it was going positive. I think the obviously they've had a few draws. Just looking at it now, like, they drew away to Cove and drew away to Finn Harps. But look, that can happen. But, you know, they've won basically every other game at home. And then they drew to Bray, which, you know, again, was a bit of a hiccup, but the sort of only stain it has been really those two defeats to Cove and Kerry. And I think the fact they also came back to back didn't help either. But overall, look, you know, we're still 3 points clear of UCD. We're 6 points clear if we win tonight, obviously, with a game in hand. So win that game in hand, which is away to Treaty, who are last in the league at the moment. That's a 9 point gap. You can't complain too much. Like, obviously, you know, fans would have wanted an unbeaten season. You know, we almost very nearly had it in 2024 under Tim Clancy. But I think every fan is just, we're just sort of sick of the first division. We just want to get out of it. And that's the most important thing. I go back to the point, it's so vital that you don't become in a bit of a dogfight with UCD or with Bray, who, you know, would have seen those results against Kerry and Colvin, would have absolutely sort of, would absolutely certainly fancy to pounce on them. And UCD, you know, they've closed that gap to now it's only 3 points, but as I said, it can go up to 9 points if City win all the games in hand. So it's just so vital, really, that they don't become a bit of a dogfight with one of those sort of teams like UCD or Bray, because if they do, then I can see that sort of turning a bit toxic in the fan base, and there would be questions then asked of Barry Robson's ability, even if Cork City were to get promoted by, you know, 3 points or so. You'd be sort of questioning, like, you know, you look at the resources we've had compared to UCD and Bray and Wexford and teams like that. If you're sort of getting in a bit of a dogfight with them, it really does sort of question maybe your ability and, you know, what's it going to be like in the Premier Division? Because we've seen, obviously, firsthand how competitive the Premier Division is, but we've seen now just how competitive it is this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so vital, Cork City build towards. And, they, you know, they should be absolutely looking. I know it feels... you know, oblivious to say we should be looking forward to the Premier Division, but, you know, you have to. And there should be looking at the way Dundalk have been promoted this year. You see how Dundalk are doing so well in the Premier Division. You know, we should be looking at why can't that be us next year? So yeah, everything really in this year just has to be built towards the Premier Division. And yeah, you just can't get in a dogfight, really. That's the biggest thing I'd say.
Well, look, our owner will have to get out the wallet if we're going to compete next year in the Premier Division. If we're hopefully there, I'm sure he will be. Look, we were in the news. Probably the only time we'll be in the national news all year was, of course, for leaving Twitter during the week. What have you made of what have you made of that, Harry?
I mean, it's a brave decision. Like, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because I can see the reasons behind it, and I think. Aaron Howie, you know, who's the social media guy at Cork City, spoke really well about it on the Neil Prendeville show during the week. And you can absolutely see the reason why, like, you know, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, is not the platform it used to be. Like, it's a pretty toxic platform at times. And, you know, it's obviously very unregulated compared to whatever Instagram and Facebook is, but it's still a huge brave decision in that Twitter's a massive part of the League of Ireland, Joe. Even if I, like, I don't make it to too many games, Twitter is always the first place I check.
It's the biggest platform for sport and sport accounts.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, even, like, you know, updates and stuff like that. You know, the Twitter was so frequent in giving you what was happening in the game, chances and stuff, and you can't really do that on any other platform, really. So it's a brave decision in that sense. Like, yeah, I mean, they've made a lot of publicity this week in terms of not doing it, and I think, you know, a few German clubs have done it, I've heard, but it's still a brave decision that, you know, Twitter's such a huge platform, and it's so essential to not just, you know, the senior team, but you know stuff like, you know, the academy results and stuff, they'd be more frequently updated on Twitter. And like, will it translate over to Instagram and Facebook? I'm not completely sure. Like, I'm split on it because I can see the reasoning behind it, but it's just a brave decision. And yeah, I do wonder, you know, if Cork City were to have an ownership change in the next year or so, which is probably looking quite unlikely, would that decision be reversed? I'm not sure.
We'll have to wait and see that one. I suppose the thing is, it sounded so final that, you know, there is no coming back whatsoever. Yeah. I probably would have left it a bit more open-ended myself, but look, that's just me and easy to say in hindsight. But it kind of, the straw that broke the camel's back on it, really, and I know Twitter is a cesspit at the best of times, but was the release of our third kit in support of the LGBT community here in Cork. The new kit, a lovely kit, I will actually say. But just the abuse off the back of that was seemingly the straw that broke the camel's back. And it's well and good saying that there are all accounts from the UK and America hating on it and taking their right-wing stance. But there was an awful lot of Cork City fans retweeting and posting about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose that's one of the things with Twitter, you know, it's so, and social media in general, it's so anonymous. And like, yeah, look, it's, yeah, as you said, it's all easy and well saying it's people not from Cork and it's outside of Cork and it's bots and stuff. And this is just, you know, the world that Elon Musk has created on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. But you know, there is people from Cork who are commenting on it. And, you know, as you said, it did sort of touch into that sort of right wing base, maybe that is in Ireland and in certainly in football Twitter. So yeah, it's a tough one in that you can see, I mean, yeah, if you're to look, when you look at the replies to that and you look at what was such a positive, you know, kit and such a brilliant cause obviously, and you can't give out about the kit or anything like that. It's perfect. It's something that the club should be doing more of, probably. It reaches out into the community and stuff. And I mean, we've seen it before with other teams as well have done that. But when you see the reaction it got, you can sort of maybe side with the club. But as you said, it's a tough one because it's so essential in sports, it feels, especially sports marketing and stuff like that. So will the club, you know, feel the repercussions in the next year? I mean, we'll only have to wait and see, really.
The last one, we'll end on a positive note. Derek Collin coming back into the women's setup. Well, Liam Kearney appointed as director of football first and foremost there. What a huge appointment that is. But seemingly the first appointment that then he's made as director of football is getting Derek Collin as women's team manager.
Yeah, I don't think there could have been a more positive appointment. And Derek, obviously, a guy who just knows the club inside out. And, you know, Liam Kearney, you know, we've gone through quite a lot of rubbish in the last few years as Cork City fans, and you know, you can make what you want to say about the Dermot Usher ownership, and yeah, I don't think it's you have to say, taking at face value, it's not worked out so far. But appointing Liam Kearney as the director of football, I think, is a start. You know, he's someone who obviously knows, you know, he knows the club inside out. He knows he's obviously a City legend. He's played for, you know, the club in numerous stints, obviously, and you know what he was doing at the academy can't be knocked, you know, when you consider the amount of academy players we've produced over the last few years. And even during what has been obviously pretty tough time for the club, we've still managed to produce talents like, you know, Jayden Newmay, Jake O'Brien, you know, so many other guys, Carl Heffernan, like loads of different guys who've gone on and made good money for the club. But yeah, Derek Collin, it's an exciting appointment, and it's something that the women's team definitely need because they've had a rough few years. I think Liam Kearney did quite well to sort of steady the ship, even themselves. I was watching their last two games, and I thought there was much improved performances in both them. And I think as well, probably a nice thing, there won't be that much pressure on him in that, you know, I think probably the expectation will be just to improve the performances. Won't be kind of to, you know, it won't be to shoot them off the league within this season. But it's a positive appointment, and it's something that the women's side and in general, I think Cork City need, because I think something you could say about Dermot Rusher's ownership, like, I think for me, anyway, I don't know. I think it's quite clear he definitely cares about the club, but I think the biggest criticism I'd say about him is that his appointment of people in football positions has been atrocious. I mean, we saw the appointment of Jernash, which was a disaster. But the appointment of Liam Kearney in director of football, obviously Liam Kearney now appointing Derek Holland, is a real positive, and it's something I think we can get a small bit excited for, and hopefully you know, brighter times in the future.
Absolutely, Harry, hopefully we're ending it on a happy one. What's the final score for City Longford tonight?
It's like Longford, you know, Bishopsgate, it's never the easiest place to play. It's, you know, that weird
come
Saturday
on, Harry.
It's
like,
Longford, Oslo.
These are Longford we're talking about here, man.
Go on. City. I'm going to say City 3-1, I'd say. I think I'm going to go with a double from Hands again. And I'm going to go Keating. I think Keating will come off the bench and will finally end his duct.
Come on, Harry. Thanks a mil for coming on. Appreciate it. Harry Hayden of the Big Red Bench.
No worries, Dan. Cheers.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.